Okay. Samach Zayin Omid Aleph, three lines from the end of the page. 67A4. Okay, 67A4. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, and the Mishnah just said that if a guy marries off his daughter, he has to give her X amount Chamishim Zuz, and the Gemara says what type of money, and the Gemara says irregular coins. But now it says like this. Yosem Yosema Shabolis Barnes. Okay, an orphan and an orphan boy and orphan girl come to the charity fund, and they say, we need money to live, but there's not enough money for both of them. Mm. Who gets the money? The nan is mefarnes and as a yaseima, v'achagach mefarnes and as a yosem. First you give the girl money, then you give the boy money. Why? Because eben eisho ish darken achzer lapsachim. A boy, men go collecting, and women don't go collecting. So therefore, who needs the money more? The girl orphan, the yaseima, needs the money more because she can't go around collecting like the boy could. Yosef, but then the Braisa continues. Yosef, Yosema, Shebalin, I'll say, they come to get married. And they need, not to each other. A boy, it would be good if they got married to each other.
Save a lot of money.
Save a lot of money. But anyway, a boy, orphan girl come, and they said to the charity fund, to the Rocket Fund, right? We need money to get married. And there's not enough money to marry them off. Both. So what do you do? First you marry off the girl, then the boy. Why? The shame of a woman is greater than the shame of a man. And therefore, for her to be with an orphaned girl is more difficult than an orphaned boy. And therefore, you have to endure that first. Okay? Very simple. Girl comes before the boy. No. Well, the definition of a yosim or a yosema halachically is up to the age. I mean, you could have a 90-year-old. Right. Most 90-year-olds are orphans, by the way.
Most are.
Most 90-year-olds are orphans. The din is, as long as they're able to take, when they are able to take care of themselves, then they're not a yosim and a yosema anymore. But until that age, you basically talking like 18, 20. I mean, basically
okay, but we're not
today.
Gonna, like a girl that's like 10 or 9.
No,
or...
you get to a 10-year-old girl can't get married. Only your father can marry you. Okay, then it says like this. Tzadar Abana, Yosem Shabalisa, the orphan boy comes to get married. What do you have to give him? Well, what is the kupa, what does the tzedakah fund have to give the boy?
Advice.
Seichel Leibai, yeah, right, that's cheap. Seichel Leibai, you have to rent him a house. You have to supply him with a bed and all the furnishings that the bed needs, that he needs in the house. And then you marry him off. Interesting. First you set him up, and then you marry him off. Get him a house, a bed, appliances, you know, Alexis, whatever,
iPad,
Tesla, whatever.
iPad.
So they rent it for a year, is that what the rent would be?
No, or? Doesn't see, just rent them a house. Why, where do we learn this house? One second. Why do you first do these things and then marry him off? So Gemara learns that from a pasuk. It says like this, by tzedakah it says you have to give him, dei machseirei asher yachsalei. You have to give him what he's lacking, right? So Gemara says, shenema dei machseirei asher yachsalei. So it says, dei machseirei, his needs, that's bias. Asher yachsed is missing the mita v'shulchan. That's a bed and a table. Loi, now, so the pasuk says in this order, dei machseirei, asher yachsar loi. And the Gemara is going to say why loi means a wife. But it means, dei machseirei means you give him a house, asher yachsar means you give him the furnishings, loi means a wife. How do we know loi means a wife? Shenamar asher loi is a connected. I'll make him a wife. That's what Hashem said to Adam. So the word loy, lamed vav, refers to a wife. Okay? This is so far so good.
Machsor doesn't mean lacking something?
Yeah. So what's he lacking? So it said, dey machsor, the lacking is a house. Asheyach salay means the furnishings. And loy means a wife. That's the proof that you go first, give him a house, and then marry him off. Ton the Rabbanu said like this. Dey machsor, okay? So what does the pasuk say? The Torah says about a poor man, you have to give him deimachseid, you have to give him what he's missing. Yeah? That means, your mitzvah, you're commanded, to give him what he needs, his basic needs. But but you don't have to make him rich. Okay? Then you have to give him, and this is a very fine line, the Gemara is going to explain, it's very interesting. You have to give him what he's missing, but you don't, here's the Gemara. But you don't have to give him to make him wealthy. Meaning like this. Even if the guy came from a wealthy family, that he had a horse riding in front of him, and he had a horse to ride on, and a servant to run in front of him, you have to give it to him, if that's what he was accustomed to. That means if he came from a wealthy family, remember we learned before Dagdim and Ben-Gurion's daughter, so the din would be, you'd have to give them what they're accustomed to. If they're accustomed to horses and servants, that you have to give them.
What about
Ben-Gurion's daughter? Nagdim and not Ben-Gurion. Listen to this.
What if that's above
standard? 1 second. Amr Olav al Hillel Azokin, they said about the famous Hillel, Shalakach L'Ani Ben Tevim Echad, that he once stood for a poor person, a kid, that came from a wealthy family. He gave him Sus Lirkiv Olav, Ve'Evet Rodos L'Fanav. And he gave him, because the Pasuk says, Hillel was in charge of the community. So this kid used to be a wealthy family, so he was used to a horse and servants, so Hillel gave it to him. What happens? Listen to the story. One time Hillel couldn't find a servant to run before the guy. And Hillel was the servant that ran from 3 mil.
Wow.
3 mil is 6,000 amas, which is like 2 miles. Hillel ran 2 miles, meaning like this. Hillel was the head of the community. So there's an obligation on the community to give the poor man sustenance. And the Torah says, what he's accustomed to, you have to give him. You don't have to make him wealthy. Okay? That means if he had one horse, you don't have to give him two. If he had no horse, you don't have to give him one. But if he was accustomed to wealth, you have to give it. Turn it up on it. What? Huh? But that's really because of the mitzvah.
That's Minat Torah, yeah?
Yeah. Hillel obviously went above and beyond the call of duty. Right? He gave him more than he needed.
Couldn't send somebody else to run.
He knows nobody else. He wanted to do it himself.
Masha.
Maybe he needed exercise. Talking about in the story, let's go. There's nothing to ask in this Gemara. Come on, do me a favor.
Anybody, or he has to be part of that city. Anybody come to the city, you help him?
No, there's a whole Gemara. If a guy's in the city 30 days, you have to help him.
He doesn't talk about it.
Unless, no, here the Gemara's not talking about that. The Gemara's learning when you have an obligation to give the guy his needs, what's the order, how a boy or girl, which comes first, you know, all the things that we're learning.
And what are needs.
Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabbanan, Rabbanan, Mai Sibanshi Golu, there's a people from the higher Galilee, Shalakul Ani Ben Tevim Echad Mitzipedi, that they gave this poor kid that used to come from a wealthy family in Tzipeiri, he gave him litra basi b'chol yeim, a litra of meat every day. Now, a litra of meat, by the way, is 14 ounces, less than a pound of meat. Right, so the Gemara says, litra basi b'chol, I mean, that's not a lot. So for a day, it's not a lot. No, so the Gemara says, no, what the Gemara answers, listen, it's an interesting answer. They gave him litra basa shel ephes, fowl meat of birds that was more expensive than animal meat. Meaning at that time, obviously, chicken or birds, whatever they, ducks or whatever they had, was more expensive than meat, than beef meat. But because he was accustomed to having this type of food, they could have given him the less expensive food, less expensive meat. So they gave him this expensive meat. Or something else. Ibrahim, another answer is, they gave him meat, meaning, they gave him meat that cost a liter of coins. First, Gemara said they gave him a liter, let's say a pound of meat. So Gemara said, big deal. So he said, no, it's expensive meat.
Okay, this is the orphan that's going to get married, or just...
No, this is general. We're talking about general orphans now.
From a rich family.
I'm sorry, poor. Yeah, no, we're not talking, just talking about poor people. Ravashi answers the third answer. This incident that the guys in Galilee gave this guy a lot of meat every day, it was Bekvar Koten Hoya. It was a very small community that they didn't have buyers for the remainder of the meat. So therefore, like this, B'chol Yom every day, have a mafsa de chayusa amtulte. They had to waste an entire animal to give this kid the meat that he needed. In other words, it wasn't a big city where they had a lot of people buying meat. So meaning they had to shech the whole behemoth to give this kid the meat.
Yeah, no refrigeration.
So that situation was a lot of money, basically. Then the Gemara is telling this.
It says, Ani ben
Toivim. Ani ben Toivim means he came from a wealthy family. Because if he was a poor man from a poor man family, then he's not accustomed to this stuff. Right? Ben Toivim means that's the expression of the Gemara. The expression Ben Toivim means of a wealthy family.
Noble.
Huh?
Noble
family, yeah. Then the Gemara says like this. Ahuda asin l'kamid Rav Nechemya. There's this poor man came before Rav Nechemya and said, feed me. Okay? Amalei Rav Nechemya said to him, B'mata said, what are you accustomed to eat? So he gave Amalei, Basa Shamein, fatty meat, Yayin Yoshan, aged wine. And as the kid said to him, I'm high maintenance, like they say in America. Amar, so he said like this. Are you interested in joining Galgal Imi Badashim? Do you want to eat beans with lentils with me? In other words, Rabbi Nechemya said, I don't even have that for myself. Like, hello? He doesn't say that this poor kid came from a wealthy family. He said a poor man came to him, and he said to him, what do you eat? So he gave him an expensive menu. So Rabbi Nechemya said to him, that's not what you're accustomed to. You created that menu on your own, and now you expect me to, he said, maybe you want to come eat lentils with me? And that's what I eat. You want to come eat? So what happened? Gilgal imei v'adoshim. Listen to this. The poor man ate the lentils with him. The mason, he died.
Oh, boy.
Because he wasn't accustomed to lentils. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nechemya said, Oy loy lozeh shaharog and Nechemya. Woe is to this pauper that Nechemya killed. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Adrabba. You don't say, woe is to the pauper that Nechemya killed. You say, woe is to Nechemya for killing a pauper. Right? The expression where it doesn't make sense.
This guy had meat, fatty meats and wine, right?
Aged wine.
So
yeah.
Fatty food's no good for you.
No?
No.
Oh.
So he had lentils.
This is before cholesterol days.
Huh?
This is before cholesterol was created. Cholesterol was created not in the 6 days of creation.
Cholesterol
was created later on.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara says, Adrabba, so the Gemara says, why did Rabbi Nechemya say, woe is to this guy that Nechemya killed? The guy didn't do anything wrong. He should say, woe is to Nechemya, Shahar Gulazemi boiler. He should have said, woe is to Nechemya that killed this guy. So the Gemara says like this. Ella, the Gemara says, Rabbi Nechemya was not responsible for his death. In other words, if you think, just take the Gemara so far literally, Rav Nechemya caused this guy to die. And you, Rav Nechemya was a Tana of the Mishnah. He's not going to cause a guy to die. A Mishnah would never let a guy die through him. Okay? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, what Rav Nechemya said is, woe is to this guy that he lived such a lifestyle that he shouldn't have lived and therefore he died. Rav Nechemya said, basically, according to the Gemara's answer, I didn't kill him. It's his fault that he built up such a lifestyle of fatty meat and this, that when I gave him lentils, he died.
For a poor man, no less.
Yeah, for a poor man.
He's so spoiled.
Yes, but Rav Nechemya said, I didn't spoil him. He spoiled himself. Then when he ate lentils, he died. It's my fault that he died eating lentils.
Just being a customer.
Let's see it inside. He shouldn't have pampered himself so much. So He, in other words, and the Gemara seems to say clearly, he didn't come from a wealthy family. Because if he came from a wealthy family, you would have to give him the fatty meat and the aged wine. He didn't come. He decided himself to create a diet, you know, for the rich. So Nechem Yisrael, it's not my fault. What?
Yeah, but, I mean, just a change of diet doesn't kill you. I mean, why?
This guy obviously had a very sensitive stomach. Maybe he had an allergy.
Too much muffins.
Do you have allergies in those days?
No.
Salmonella.
No one knows.
Okay, then the Gemara says like this. There's also, some of these guys, you think today's guy that chutzpah? Listen to these guys. There was this guy came before Rav. A poor man. He said, you know, feed me. Amalei Rav said, B'mata Sayyid, what are you accustomed to eating? Amalei tanigelus petuma v'yayin yoshin, fattened hen and aged wine, meaning very expensive, again, very expensive food. Amalei Surava said to him, lechayshta leduchka d'tzibura, you're not afraid of imposing yourself on the community? I mean, it says, but Rava said to him basically, you don't care that you're imposing on the community to feed you wealthy food? Like, why do you create that? Amar, listen to what he said to him. Atu mididuka chilna. What am I eating? Their food? I'm not eating the community's food. Min rachmana kayichlin. I'm eating God's food. It's not their food. It's God's food. So I'm going, what do you want from me? The Tanina, he said, and the guy was not allowed to learn. He said like this. The Tanina, the poor man is saying this to Rava. We learned in the Braisa, what we said in Asher, right? The eyes of all look upon you, Tashem. And you give him food in his time. Now, grammatically, it should have said, what does the pasuk say? Everybody looks at you, God, and you give him food in, it should have said, their time. Right? Everybody looks at you, and you give him food in their time. That's not what the pasuk says. You give him food in his time. Who's his? Emolamid, shakol echad ve'echanes in Hakadosh Baruch Hu parnasa beite. For here you see, Hashem is the one that gives parnasa, and Hashem's count, and Hashem's clock, so to speak.
Terms.
Huh?
On his terms.
So therefore, what did the guy say? The guy said, I eat a lot of food. The Rav said to him, what are you crazy? You expect the community to support you like this? So he says, it's not the community, it's God. What happened? Gemara says like this. This was a conversation between Rava and the pauper. Yeah? So it says like this. Adahachi asoy achsi the Rava lechazi lechleisa shni. At this point in the conversation, Rava's sister came, who Rava didn't see for 13 years. Why? She was in China. Why? And Rava's sister, who he didn't see for 13 years, came to visit her brother. So she brought the fat meat and old wine. Exactly what this guy wanted. So Amar Rava said, what's this happened in my eyes? In other words, Rava said, my sister never came to for 13 years. All of a sudden she comes and bring me this expensive food, exactly what the guy wanted. So Amar Rava said, my de kamam, this happened in my eyes. Amar Rava said to the poor person, na nasi lach, I said too much when I criticized you. Kumachol, get up and eat. Go eat. But the Mefashim say an interesting thing. In reality, the guy didn't deserve that food. Because he created his own, like Reb Nachem, he gave the guy lentils. But Rabbi said, you see, Ashkocha Pratis over here, that God answered your prayer. You have such faith in God, that God is going to give me food. God sent the food for you. So it's yours, go take it. So Rabbi didn't need it, he gave it to this guy.
Well, isn't other places says you better eat less even in Shabbat and do not be dependent on the community.
That's what Rav has said to him. Why are you relying on the community?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So we shouldn't support him.
Yeah, but Rav didn't want to. But then Rav saw Mamish from Hashem coming, the story. Yeah, because not normal. Sister didn't come for 13 years to see him. All of a sudden she came and she brings him this food. I mean...
But that pasuk is talking about oneself. Shouldn't do that. It doesn't say don't give it
to others. There's a din at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. Okay? The Gemara asks the question. One pasuk says, Hashem says about Shabbos, food for Shabbos. Lava alai vani perea. Okay, one Gemara says, if a guy has no money for food for Shabbos, okay, taking the Gemara simply, Hashem says, borrow on my account, I'll pay it back. In other words, God will take, you borrow and God will pay it back. Okay? Another Gemara says, the Gemara asks, it's the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, Alter Rebbe Shechonach. Another Gemara says, Asei Shabbat Chochol, it's better to make your Shabbos with weekday food, that you shouldn't have to rely on other people. So seemingly it's a contradiction. One Gemara says, if you don't have food for Shabbos, borrow and God will take care of it. Another Gemara says, no, make your Shabbos into a weekday meal, eat, you know, not such good food and not rely on people. So the Gemara answers very interestingly. And this is Batan Shchunor. If a guy has money, he has money, but he's low in cash flow, he has money.
Collateral.
But he doesn't have cash. Yeah? So Hashem said, borrow and I'll pay it back. A guy that has no money, Hashem said, no, don't borrow. Because you don't have money. Just make your Shabbos into a weekday.
What is the chiddush? If he has the money somewhere but no cash below, borrow, Hashem said, borrow,
I'll pay it back.
That's not chiddush.
It is a chiddush. Do you know that if a multimillionaire comes into a shul, okay, this is going back years ago when people used to travel by bus, and okay, and Shechonar doesn't, but Halacha says, okay, if a guy comes to shul, let's see, he comes to shul Matzoy Shabbos, on Shabbos, yeah, and he needs a bus fare home, yeah, he's allowed to take money, I mean, he can't steal, but they can give him money from the pushka, from the tzedakah box, for the car fare. Now, Pidin, he doesn't have to pay it back. Now, Pidin, I mean, the right thing to do anyway, pay it back. But now, Pidin, according to Allah, he doesn't have to pay it back. Why? He might be have $1 million in the bank, or in his house. Right now, he's poor. He has no money. Right now, he's poor. Right now, he can take from the pushka. And according to Allah, he really doesn't have to pay it back. Because he's poor, now he's taking the money from the pushka. So it's not so simple. Sometimes the halacha is, it's better to make your Shabbos into a weekday, meaning eat two meals instead of three, and eat cheap food instead of expensive food, and not to rely on people. But if you have money, you just short in cash flow, then you can borrow.
And if you don't have the collateral, and you can't borrow, why?
Because who's going to pay it back?
Well, but Hashem is...
You know, there's an expression in Yiddish, or a man fort extra class. A poor man always goes first class. Why? Why? It's a very simple explanation. A rich man travels with his money. His money, he's not going to expend a lot of money. And a poor man has no money. He travels with the other people's money. He might as well go first class. If I'm not spending the money, you're spending the money. I might as well go first class. That's what Rav and Rabbi Nechemiah is telling this guy. So Rabbi Nechemiah Takia gave him lentils. Rav was also not going to give him this fatty food. Rav was going to give him regular food. The Ashkocha Pratis, Divine Providence, the sister came, the whole thing. So Rav said, okay, this is a lesson from God.
Now the day after, what did the guy eat?
I mean,
he left him on his own, like God will provide, you know.
Maybe
Rabbi
from then
instead of
giving him.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Oh, no, not necessarily. Okay.
How does halacha interact with like Tokei Shabbat?
It's what?
Free food for Shabbat.
Yeah, but there's people that need it.
Right. They're borrowing.
No, they're not borrowing. They're taking it. They're not borrowing. They give it to them.
People give money to Tamchen and they provide food to people with need.
Right, but wouldn't it be better if they just had a weekday meal and they didn't have to rely on the community?
That's as far as they're concerned. The community has an obligation to feed them on Shabbos extra meals. They have nothing. It's not going to do a difference of Shabbos and. Okay, turn.
It's not like the Israelis say.
Make
it the week they go to work.
No, that's not what it is. This is also a very interesting Gemara. Ein loy vein reitzel l'spanis. Now, this is this practical halacha, by the way. A guy doesn't have money. He doesn't have any money, but he doesn't want to take tzedakah. So what do you do? He refuses to take. So Gemara says like this. Ein loy, if a guy has taka no money, vein reitzel l'spanis, he doesn't want to support himself from the tzedakah. Neisim l'shum halva. You tell him, you know what? I'm lending you the money. And then, and later you give it to him as a gift. You don't ask it back. Divrei Rav Meir, by the way. Okay, so Rav Meir holds very simple. The guy needs money, he doesn't want to take it. Say, okay, I'm lending you the money. I'm lending you the money, you'll pay it back one day. And you don't ask him for the money back. Chachamim Eimim, no. Neisim Leilu Shumaton. Igmar is going to explain what this means. You give it to him as a gift, and then you give it to him as a loan. One second. So Chum is the opposite way. First you give it to him as a gift, and then you make it into. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. The guy says he doesn't want to take it. What do you mean you're going to give him as a gift? The guy's refusing to take. That's the case over here. So what do you mean you're going to give it to him as a gift? So the Gemara says, Amirav, it means, Liftayach lei l'shumatana. It's really, basically, then it's the same thing. You open up, offer it to him as a gift. And if not, then you give him as a loan.
It's the same thing.
In a certain thing, basically it's the same thing. So Rav Meir holds, no, the way the Mefarshim explained, Rav Meir holds, you don't ever do that. Because you see the guy doesn't want to take, you don't offer it to him as a gift. He's too sensitive. Rav Meir says you go straight as a loan. And there's the argument over here, what's the case? You know the guy doesn't want to take the money. Right? He needs it, but he doesn't want to take it. Yeah? So the mayor says, don't start off with a gift, because the guy's embarrassed already. Say to him, you know what, I'm giving you to us a loan. And then later, you know, just forget it. The Chum say no. You have to start off giving it to him as a gift. If he refuses, then you go to a loan. The question is, how do you start the conversation, basically?
Here
1 minute, we will get to that later.
So it's better to
use
a loan, right?
No. But Rambam says the highest level of tzedakah, the guy's falling, you get him, no, you put him back on his feet before he falls.
Get him a job.
Yeah. Okay. Yesh leiv ein his finest. What happens? A guy has money, but he wants to collect tzedakah anyway. He has money, but he doesn't want to support himself. So what do you do? The guy has no right to take. So Gemara says, nice and l'shimatan. Okay, you give it to him as a gift, and then you pay, get it, collect the money from him. But the Gemara says, 1 minute, if that's what you're going to do, chayzim v'nifraymen, utsula shoki, won't take v'mas anymore. So what are you going to collect back the money? If you ask him back for the money, he's not going to want to take tzedakah. But he doesn't want to support himself. So Gemara says, no, you know when you collect it? Lachem is after the guy dies from the estate. In other words, you give it to him as a gift, and after, because he has money. He just doesn't want to support himself. So you give him the money that he should live, but because he has money, really, when he dies, you go to the estate, the Beis Din, and get back the money that they gave him.
Why you give it to him? If he has money, why you give it to him?
Because he's asking for money. And you know who he is. Only a Persian is allowed to say that. Okay, you speak to all the schools. People come up with the most expensive cars, and then they ask for a break in tuition that they can't afford it. People do that. today? Speak to any of the schools, any of them, any school in the city, in the country. Okay? What does that mean? Obviously, you're good at it. They don't want to afford it. Okay.
Yeah, that means a statement that's coming up right now.
Okay, now, Reb Shimon Aimer, Reb Shimon said before in the Braisa, Yashlei Veinu Reitzel Is Parnas. Okay, a guy has the money, but he doesn't want to support himself. He'd rather get tzedakah. Ain't tzedakah, niskakingly. Reb Shimon argues on the first opinion. Reb Shimon says, you don't give him anything. He has, what does he give? He wants, but what are you giving him? Ain't loy ve'ain reitzel Is Parnas. What happens, a guy that doesn't have money, and he doesn't want to, and he doesn't want to take. Here's the opposite. He has no money, but he doesn't want to take from tzedakah. The first case was, the guy has money, but he wants to take from tzedakah anyway.
Had this before.
Yeah.
Go back again on it.
No, so Reb Shimon is a different opinion. But Reb Shimon is saying, Havei mashkin v'til, offer it to him as a loan, and you say to him like this, bring me back the security, bring me a collateral, bring me a mashkin, a security, meanwhile take it. And then you give it back to him, that he should think it's a loan. So Reb Shimon is really saying what the Chacham said before. Right? But except Reb Shimon argues that if a guy has money and he still wants the duck, you don't give him anything.
Who's the
Halacha
like?
Huh? Who's the Halacha like? Stop like the Chacham. Okay. It's the Halacha like the Chacham. Yeah. Tell the Rabbanu learned. Now the Gemara is going to all learn this out from a Pasuk. Okay? The Pasuk says as far as the per person goes, Haveit, lend them the money, right? Meaning, what do you mean lend them? When do you lend the poor man money? That's the case, She'ein Lei Vein Reitzel Is Parnas. Like the Gemara said before, he doesn't have money, he needs tzedakah, but he doesn't want to take it. So what do? You give him a loan, Haveit. She'neisim Lei L'shum Avah. Okay, first you give it to him as a loan that he should not be embarrassed, and then you give it to him as a gift. But then the Torah says, Tavi Tanu. Okay, what does Tavi Tanu mean? The Torah says, Haveit, it's a double expression. Haveit, Tavi Tanu. Lend, you should lend. Okay, so Gemara says like this. The first lend means, right, he doesn't want to take it, lend it to him. Tavi Tanu. What do you mean, lend him? Zeshe yeshle veneretzel Is Parnas. A guy that has money, but still wants to take tzedakah. So what do? You give it to him as a gift, and then tavitani you can consider as a loan, that after he dies, you go collect the money from the estate, like the Gemara said before. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim eimrim, yeshle veneretzel Is Parnas. If a guy has money, and you don't want to, and he doesn't want to support himself. So this is what Reb Shimon says. Ein niskakon lei, you don't give him any money. The Torah says, Havei tavitanu, double expression. It means, divitei koloshim neon. The Torah doesn't, you can't learn anything from the extra word. The meaning like this. Reb Yehuda holds the fact that the Torah says, Havei tavitanu, lend them, you should lend. So he said the Torah is speaking two cases. A guy has no money and doesn't want to take. Lend them the money. Yeah? Tavitano teaches us, a guy has money, but he wants to take tzedakah, then eventually lend him the money and pay it back from the after he dies. Chamim say no. Havit means lend the guy the money. He doesn't want to take, he doesn't want to take, lend him the money and then forget it. Tavitano doesn't teach us anything because Torah say, give you should give. In human terms, the Torah says double expressions. Huh? Right, this Chacham is Rav Shimon. Okay, now the Gemara tells some interesting tzedakah stories. This is a very famous story, by the way. Mar Ukva, the famous sage Mar Ukva, Hava Anya Bishvivusei. There was a poor man in his neighborhood that Mar Ukva supported. Havaragol koyema de shodale abe zuza. Every day, my uncle would give him 4 zuz. In the tzineira de dasha. In the socket of the pauper's door. Okay, he says like this. Doors were attached to a door frame. Okay, the fit holes into the doorway. Okay, the door used to swing. And he was able, in between the doors, where it swung, he was able to put in these 4 zuz every day. Okay? Yom Echad Omar, and he did it, he, as the Gemara says, he put it there and ran away. Okay? This is a famous story of Marukfa. He used to give the guy money, the guy didn't know about it. Yom Echad, one day, the guy, the poor man said, Ezel Echse Man Kovi B'Yahu Tuvit. Let me see who's doing this kindness to me every day. Give me $4 and 4 zuz. That day, Mar Ukva came home late from yeshiva. They had a very good poop or whatever. So now it was already night. Okay? So Mar Ukva's wife accompanied him. She didn't want him to walk alone at night. Okay? So she walked with him to the poor man's house to drop off the money and run away. Kivin the chazer the komatzel the dasha. When the poor man saw that Mar Ukva is standing in the doorway, nafka basrayu, he ran out to see who it was. Now, what did Mar Ukva do? Mar Ukva dropped off the coins and ran. So the poor man chased Mar Ukva to see who it was. Okay, what happened? Arlelasu atuna davagrufen nura. Mar Ukva and his wife, they didn't want the poor man to see who gave him the money. Because then, you know, you feel embarrassed. Right? So they ran into an oven that the coals were removed, but the oven was still boiling hot. Basically, they ran into a boiling hot oven. So Gemara says, Have a kamakaila karid mar Ukva. Mar Ukva's feet were becoming burnt. Okay? Amala devisu. So his wife, whose feet were not burnt, she said to him, Shekol kadach eisev akari. Take your feet and put them on my feet. And that she should massage it, that it should not be so bad. Okay, so you got, huh?
Not massage.
What?
Put his feet on top of her feet because, so it won't burn.
Okay, so it won't burn, whatever.
Otherwise she can stay.
Her feet wouldn't burn
because she's more of a
tzaddik. Okay, now. So the Gemara says, So Mar Ukva felt bad. His wife was on a higher level than him. His feet burned and her feet didn't. That means Hashem made a miracle that her feet didn't burn. So the Mar Ukva was the head of the yeshiva, the head of the academy. So you can imagine the embarrassment of the guy getting the money from Mar Ukva. So Mar Ukva and his wife ran into a furnace. But Mar Ukva felt bad. His wife was on a higher level than him. So she said to him, Amrel, his wife said to him, listen to this. Don't feel bad. I have a certain advantage that you don't have. Why? I'm home a whole day. And they benefit from me immediately. Meaning like this. You give them money. With the money, they have to go buy food. I'm home. When they come to my house, I give them food. So they don't have to do anything. I give them ready food. So she said, my level of tzedakah, she said, don't feel bad. Okay? You're a great man. But I just give them food, which is more practical than you giving them money.
So by that measure, Rambam is... Whenever he says give them a job, he's like the way less practical. Then they have to go work, and then they get the money, and then they get the food.
Correct. The best thing is to get a guy money. Okay. So the Gemara says, Umay kulahai. The Gemara asks, why in the world did they have to run into a dangerous oven? Like, why did they have to run away? You want to run away, run away. But into an oven? So the Gemara says, or some people said Rav Huna Bar Business said in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida. Or some people say Rav Yechon said the name of Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Nayach la Adam is a famous Gemara. Rashi brings it down in Chumash. It's in Saita, it's in Niksubis. Nayach la Adam is better for a person. Sheyim said Atzmi letech kivshen oish, to be ready to burn themselves, while Yabim p'nei chaveri, but I'm not to embarrass somebody publicly. Rav Shimon Yochai said, and we learn now from Tamar, as the Gemara is going to say. The Gemara says it's preferable to burn, to get burnt in a fire, rather than embarrass somebody publicly. So Mar Ukva, the Gemara says, why did Mar Ukva, because if he would have seen Mar Ukva, he would have felt embarrassed. The head of the Beis Din is coming to give him money, he would be embarrassed. Right? So he was willing to go into an oven rather than embarrass somebody publicly. And the Gemara said, where do we learn it out? From Tamar. Because Tamar, you know the story with Tamar, yeah? So finally, Yehuda heard that she became pregnant from Znus. So Yehuda said, take her out and burn her. Yeah? So what did Tamar say? Tamar didn't tell him, I'm pregnant from you, Yehuda. She said, I'm pregnant from the guy that has this, the various different things, right? The signet ring. Okay. So what, in other words, the Gemara says, Tamar was willing to get burnt instead of just embarrassing Yehuda and say, I'm pregnant from you. So from there, the Gemara learns out, it's better to die. In fact, it's an interesting thesis, and not over here, but thesis and Sait ask the question. According to this, there's a fourth Aveda you have to give up your life for. Not to embarrass somebody. The Gemara says it's better to get killed rather than embarrass somebody publicly. So thesis and the Gemara Sait says, so why does the Gemara say only three mitzvahs? There's a fourth one. And thesis answers, an interesting answer. That's not explicit in the Chumash that you have. Aveda Zor, idolatry, adultery, and murder, clearly the Torah says you're not allowed to do. We learn it out from Tamar. But based on Taisa's answer, by the way, it's the four things you have to give up your life for. So the Gemara says, the story with Maruk is a famous story. They tell it always to kids about giving tzedakah in a hidden fashion that the person shouldn't know. In fact, the Rambam, it says there's two types of things. You know who you give it to, but the person doesn't know who he's getting from. The Gemara is going to say more cases like this. You still walk around with money on the back, and whoever needed would come and take the money that they shouldn't see who's taking the money. That's one type of embarrassment. So there's embarrassment of not knowing. The ideal situation is the giver doesn't know who's getting it, and the getter doesn't know who gave it. Why? Because if I give you money, even though you don't know about it, yeah? But in my mind, you owe me. Because I'm doing you a favor. Right? So I could get some gaiva from that. But if I don't know who gets it, and you don't know who's giving it to you, so nobody's embarrassed and nobody will get gaiva. Yeah.
But in our case, who is the rabbi? It's only like this person and the poor guy.
Huh?
Who is the rabbi? Like, embarrassing in front of the rabbi. Who are the rabbi? There's nobody in the city that night.
Well, the question is, L'chaira, obviously, well, it's Tim and his wife, but, it could be there are people around.
Well, the next time he sees Rabbi Ukva, you know, he'll...
Rabbi
is like a few people,
at
least should be there, no? Otherwise, it's not Rabbi.
Officially, Rabbi is two.
He doesn't count. He himself and the other person find out.
Him and his wife? Why he counts?
Yeah, the wife here, but not the other person.
Right.
How about if you send him by messenger?
With what?
Send the money by messenger.
That's what people do. There's a story once with the Rebbe that there was Erev Pesach and somebody came to the Rebbe's office and told the Rebbe's secretary that their neighbor, you know, Erev Pesach, everybody's cooking, you see, you smell food all over the place. The neighbor did not smell any food being cooked in the neighbor's house. So obviously they have no money. So the Rebbe called in Rabbi Groner, it was, I think, and the Rebbe gave him $500 cash and said, I want you to go to the person's house, drop it, and run away. Just he ran away. That's what happened. And a little while later, the neighbor smelled food cooking. They're able to buy food and cook, whatever. Matan Besesa. No, that's what Matan Besesa is. You give it to me.
What about the
it's not mefurish potato. What no. About the pasuk? Not to embarrass
somebody publicly.
Here is not admonishing anybody. There's a din shchunar, by the way. If a teacher admonishes students privately and it doesn't help, a rabbi with students and kids, right? Then you're allowed to embarrass him publicly.
So I'm poor. Maybe that's
why you
Mishloach
Manas
to another person?
No, that's not tzedakah though. Mishloach Manas, because the Torah uses the word Mishloach. But no, the Torah, on the contrary, it said by Mishloach Manas, it's important that the guy should know who sent it. Because Mishloach Manas is to create a friendship. If you get food and you don't know who sent it, who are you friends with?
I don't understand why you have to send it to a messenger.
No, that's because Megillah used the word Mishloach Manas.
What's that?
Through a messenger. But halachically, even if you don't have a messenger, it's good.
Stop playing with me. Gonna lose it.
That's only with a teacher and students, though, right?
Yeah.
It's only, it's just been done the mocking.
No, it depends what it does, not necessarily. Okay, we'll leave it. Now that's a whole other story with Mar Ukfa, with Tzedakah.